Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast, where you get clear direction, a persuasive brand, and a competitive strategy that moves you forward. My name is Patricia Ortega, and I'm your host and career coach. Are you ever unsure if you're taking the right role at the right company? How do you know if you're going to be happy once you get into that position? How do you know if 3, 6, and 9 months later, you're going to be in a position that helps you to thrive? Well, today I'm talking to Micah Lawrence. Micah is the owner of Tailored Consulting, using Clifton Strengths and StrengthsFinder assessment to increase job satisfaction, engagement, and retention. And in January of this year, his company, Tailored Consulting, launched Culture Lab. Culture Lab is a much-needed hiring fit interview guide that helps both professionals and companies decide whether working together will lead to a thriving team for the company and a thriving career for the professional. Today, he's going to be sharing his insights into cultural fit and how to find that fulfilling role at a company that aligns with your goals, your needs, and your values. Welcome, Micah. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Patricia. Oh, are you kidding? This is my favorite thing to talk about. I'm happy to be here.
Let's start really quickly with you telling us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I actually come from a corporate background where I spent most of my career for a little over a decade at a financial services company. And most of my experience was in strategic planning type roles where I did a lot of facilitation and a little bit of coaching. But I've always wanted to start my own business. Entrepreneurship was something that was always appealing to me. And after a little over a decade in the corporate world, I thought, man, I can always go back to a corporate job, but I think I'll regret if I don't start my own thing and see if I can't make it work. So almost 3 years ago, I quit my corporate job and kind of took that leap and started a consulting company where we do primarily either leadership coaching and team development trainings or workshops, things like that. So it's been about 3 years since I started my company. I've been able to work with some big and small companies that you would recognize and some that you wouldn't around the world. And it's been a blast. I've really enjoyed my career up to this point and looking forward to the future, really.
How did you arrive at the idea to focus on cultural fit of all things that you could have focused on?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it was maybe this is normal, but it was kind of an accident. I had been working with a lot of leaders at an executive level for a couple of years through one-on-one leadership coaching and then some team development with their teams. But through those interactions and conversations, I kept hearing from across many of my clients this concern that they were hiring people onto their teams. And in a lot of ways, it was kind of like they were crossing their fingers and hoping it was a good hire. And they were doing these interviews where they were trying to figure out if it was a good technical fit. Like, is this person going to be good at their job? Do they have the skills, knowledge, and experience to do their job well? And when they did, they'd hire them on. And oftentimes these leaders would talk about just a couple of months going by before they realized this wasn't a good fit. And in some cases, it was only weeks. And the more they talked about what pain this caused, especially since I've worked with a lot of startups, that can be really hard on startups when turnover is extremely expensive and having to start that process over again puts a lot of work on the team that's waiting for those roles to be filled. So it started with just hearing this from kind of one side of the table where the employers hiring people on were talking about it a lot and expressing what a concern that is when they have a lot of turnover. Then I started noticing that some of the clients that I was working with were talking about their experience as a candidate. And it was almost the same, that they were going through this experience, being interviewed, hired on to a company, and then a few weeks or a few months in, they would realize this wasn't a good choice for me. And sometimes it was a matter of not living up to, or the company's promises not living up to their expectations or what was communicated to them. And after a year or two of hearing this feedback, I had this moment of inspiration once where I thought, we've got to be able to do this better. There's got to be a better way to figure out whether an employee or a potential candidate is likely to thrive in the environment of the companies that they're interviewing for, and that through a better process, both would feel better about the arrangement, that a candidate and the company or the employer would both feel better about the arrangement. So that's where, I mean, that's where the idea came from. Then from there, it was a matter of probably 6 months where I did research. I developed a survey that has these questions that I put into the Culture Lab tool to help people determine whether there is fit between a candidate and the environment an employer is hiring into. And over that 6 month period of developing the actual tool in its primitive state, it ended up being something that I tested with a handful of my clients totally manually. So I was using Google Forms and email and generating reports in Canva. And it was a really heavy process to do manually. But the more I did it, the better feedback I got, and eventually hired a company to develop the tool, to create a website, a product on culturelab.app, where people can go. And now it's all automated. The process is automated. You can send the survey, and within 5 minutes, both the candidate and the hiring manager can answer those questions. And a report is generated that shows you, here's how the candidate answered, here's how the hiring manager answered, and this is what it means. So all in all, it was probably a 6 or 7 month process from we should be able to do this better to launching the beta, but it wasn't even on my radar at the beginning.
Wow. Okay, so let's take a step back for a little bit to the point where you realize that professionals may not be at the right fit company. So to give folks an idea of what to watch out for, right? It would be awesome if everyone kind of joined in and went for the Culture Lab app, but there are going to be inevitably folks who are applying for companies who don't have this app. So how does somebody know if they're at the right company? What are some cues to look for if they're already employed? And they're like, something's off, but I can't put my finger on it. How can they discern if it's cultural fit that's missing?
Yeah, well, I would say if they're already getting the feeling, I love this question. If they're already getting the feeling that something's off, that's a pretty good cue. That's a pretty good indicator that there might not be fit. And one of the things that I like to talk about is that, three things I would think. First would be your values. People tend to not spend a lot of time understanding their values, but when they're given a chance to articulate them, it's easy to actually identify what's important to me. These are the things that are a priority to me. And first, assessing a fit between you and your current employer or a potential employer's values is a really good place to start, because it's hard. It's kind of like any kind of relationship. If anybody's been in a dating situation, you understand pretty quickly when you're dating somebody or on a date with somebody who has different values from you, it's hard to feel like there's a way to make that work. And I think we look for that kind of alignment in our employer too, that where I can believe in what this company stands for is a really good start to determine fit. A second thing that I look for is strengths fit. So, you know, I'm an advocate of the Clifton Strengths Assessment and strengths-based development that assessment comes from Gallup, and I use it in just about all of my work, because when people are able to use their strengths at work every day, they tend to find more satisfaction in the activities that they do at work because it aligns with their strengths, but they also find those activities easier. So it's easier to enjoy your work and be successful when you find fit with your strengths. So if you feel like you can't answer that question, that at work, I have the opportunity to use my strengths or to do what I do best, that's a good indicator that that's not a good fit too. The third thing that I would mention is to keep a skills perspective while you're thinking about that. And what I mean by that is there's a difference between strengths and skills. Sometimes people have built up a skill because it was required or it's part of the job. And so they know that they're capable of doing the work. And because they're capable of doing the work, they stick with a certain role or a certain company. When if it's not aligned with their strengths, it can still be a bad fit for that person. Because when we're doing work that doesn't come naturally to us or isn't aligned with our strengths, but we learned the skills anyway to do that work, it's kind of like working against the grain. It's pushing. We have to work harder than maybe our peers do to do the same kind of work. And that's a bad fit too. We want to find something that's a little bit more natural for us and more enjoyable for us.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I always talk about, self-motivating skills, that when you're across someone that you're about to hire, you've got to think, is this person going to naturally excel in this position? There's skill sets that you love so much, you lose your time when you're doing, engaging in these skills. Inevitably, you're going to get better because they're naturally
Yeah.
motivated, as opposed to someone who, and this happens all the time, they were young, they got into a career because it
Yeah.
made a lot of money, and they find
Yeah.
themselves 20 years down the line thinking, how did I even get here? How did I choose this career I don't like? And you're, like you said, you're a fish out of water. You're constantly
Yeah.
going up the mountain, per se, when someone else is just rolling down the hill so easily. Why does it
That's
look
right.
so easy for them?
And they made that choice 20 years ago when they were still 20 years old, or whenever that happened, early in college or straight out of high school, before they've really even developed as a person, as an adult, to learn this is what I'm good at and this is what I enjoy. Actually, here, I worked with a lot of people who are looking for a job. And oftentimes, when they're in the job search and they're thinking about a new career or a new company, they'll often read job descriptions. And when we talk about it in a coaching setting, they'll say something like, well, I know I could do this job. And I always have to pause them. It's like, I know you could do that job too. But whether you can do a job and whether you should do a job, that's what we are considering, is like, how, what kind of work would make you happy? Because you're a competent, intelligent person. And I think sometimes we think, well, I just need to trade my time and I get a paycheck and that's what work is for. But that's not what work is for. I don't see any reason why everybody can't have a job that they absolutely love. It doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to be an astronaut or the president of the United States, but they can still find, like, I worked with an accountant that when we talked about accounting, they lit up. They love numbers. They love reconciling accounts. It's something that so aligns with their strengths. They can't see themselves doing anything else, and they love going to work every day. There is that for everybody. And I think we have to separate that. Just because I can do a job doesn't mean I should. And I should keep my own needs in mind when I'm looking for a job with the right fit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The word that comes to mind is stewardship.
Oh,
Stewardship
cool. Tell me
over
about that.
your gifts, stewardship over your talent, stewardship over your experience, stewardship over your time, stewardship over your mood and irritability. Because let's be honest, if we don't like Mondays,
That's right.
we're having a ball on Friday, and come
Yeah.
Monday morning, we're like, don't talk to me, I haven't had my coffee. It might not be your coffee. You
Yeah,
might think
it
that
might be
you're
your
just gonna,
job.
and so this is one of those pieces where, being a steward over your skill set is, a steward is someone who takes intention in planning out where do I want to be in 10 years so that my life is better, not just my career, my entire
Yeah.
life. And being in a career where, you can see your own skill sets, you can see, like, in a way, not that your work is your identity, but that you can see a piece of your identity kind of saying, this is what I'm great at, this is what I was made to
Yeah.
do. And to me, being in a bad cultural fit really means that you can't fully express yourself, and that kind of shuts a piece of you down. I think it kind of translates to the rest of your life.
What a cool word. I love the stewardship word. It actually made me think about the idea that there's a stewardship over the things that you mentioned and over your own well-being. And that's something that, if you're familiar with the Clifton Strengths, if you're not, it's fascinating. You should look it up. But there's the second most common strength in the United States is called responsibility. And it is so common for people with high responsibility as a strength, despite having some really great benefits to that strength, where they're loyal, they're dependable, these are reliable people that say or that do what they say they're going to do and follow through on their commitments. So much good comes from that. But the kind of dark side of that strength is that they are so likely to sacrifice themselves in order to follow through on their commitments for others. And there's beauty in that, but there's also, like I said, the dark side of that is that I'm going to give up my own time, my own money, my own sleep, my own well-being, if it means following through on my commitments. And they sometimes struggle with setting boundaries. And I think that's something that people, knowing how common that is, being the second most common in the US, most people who are listening to this would probably have that responsibility strength, and this would resonate with them. I think it's important to, if you think about stewardship over your own well-being, to enter a job search or as you're evaluating the potential fit with a company, to understand those boundaries and how to protect yourself and your own well-being before you accept a job. If I ask these questions, I expect these kinds of responses, and I'm going to walk away. If I meet with an employer or a potential employer who can't meet my needs or who can't respect my boundaries. And that's hard for a lot of people to be okay with the fact that I'm saying no to a potential employment opportunity where there's money on the line and stability and safety on the line to protect myself and keep that stewardship over my own well-being. I love that. What a great word.
There's something that came up as you were speaking, and part of it is we are talking about stewardship, we're talking about skill sets, we're talking about values, right? But I do think there are some folks out there who are like, cultural fit sounds like a great buzzword. What exactly is it? So if you were to put a concrete definition to cultural fit before we continue on this road, how would you define it? And what are some examples of here's one cultural fit for one person and here's one cultural fit for another so we can start to conceptualize it for ourselves?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I love this question. And I think that you will probably find if you went and just Googled this or you talked to a bunch of experts, there would be so many different definitions of this. And that can be why it's so hard. It's kind of an abstract concept and we're trying to make it concrete. And what I refer to is there was this research done at the University of Iowa, probably in, I think it was 2005. So it's been a while since it's been done. And I love the way that they broke culture fit into four different categories. The first category was individual to job fit. And that's usually what we think about when and we go through the application process and the resume and the interview process. Individual to job fit means, does this person have the skills, knowledge, and experience to do the requirements of the job? It's that simple. If that's one element of the four of culture fit and you can't do the job, then it's not a good fit. So that's pretty clear. And that's what we often refer to when we're going through the interview process. The second, though, is individual to environment fit. This is where something like Culture Lab really came in. And this is what I am targeting with the Culture Lab tool is let's find out what the environment is going to be like in practice, in a practical way, and not in good or bad descriptors, but in neutral descriptors. For example, does this company have very well-defined processes that they expect their employees to follow? And because we have these processes, you're not expected to be super innovative or creative about how you do your work. It's not abstract and you have to figure things out as you go. We kind of have our processes set and this is the way things are done around here. For some people, that's not good or bad. It's just one way of doing things. Some people might really love an environment where processes are really well defined. Oh, good. I just get to come to work and do what's expected of me and not have to reinvent the wheel every day because that's stressful for me. I like knowing what's expected. Whereas some environments are very much the opposite. A lot of startups are like this. We don't really have a lot of well-defined processes yet. We'd like to get there someday, but we do require a lot of creativity or problem solving in the moment and taking abstract problems and figuring it out as you go. Some people would thrive in that environment where things aren't well-defined and they want an environment where they get to be creative and figure out their own way of doing things. So that's an example of individual to environment fit where differences in the environment aren't necessarily good or bad. They're just different. And it comes often down to preference with the individual. Where can I thrive? And knowing that about yourself can set you up for having a good environment fit conversation. The third of the four is individual to group fit. And that's just a matter of how is this individual going to interact with their peers? If they're on a team, is their fit with their peers? Is their respect with their peers? And then the fourth item is individual to supervisor fit. Do they have good rapport with the person that will be their supervisor? Are they aligned in their values and in their objectives for you as an employee coming onto this person's team? So it's probably not, I don't know if it's the best way of breaking this down or defining culture fit, but I found it to be a very concrete way of defining culture fit. And that's what people seem to crave. So I've stuck with that definition of these four components of culture fit because it seems to be well received by people for that reason alone. It's concrete.
Absolutely. I mean, just the way you're breaking it down, the term that comes to mind is it's a personality assessment for the environment and the dynamic of the team. So it's not just, I take one assessment and am I a good fit for you, but it's, let's take these multi, culture lab, right? Like, let's take these assessments on both sides of the table and kind of see where we're at. Okay, so you've got professionals who now, thanks to you, have a better idea of what it means to have a good cultural fit, right? Maybe are looking at facets, the environment, the team, the management that they didn't look at before. And so, how does one determine is the environment that I'm not a part of yet a good fit for me?
Okay. So if you were, let's say you're using the app for the first time or you're going through this process and you actually have an interview coming up, that's when I feel like this would be the most helpful. If you go into the app and you send yourself one of these surveys, you don't even really have to take the survey if you're just a candidate going into an interview. But the questions that are in the survey that's sent to you via email are really just contrasting descriptions of different environments that you might experience at an employer. And a lot of these things are things that you wouldn't have thought to ask about until you see them listed in the survey. So, okay, here are a couple of the examples. And these are two contrasting environments. In some environments, substantial communication with coworkers and/or customers is expected, and it's critical for success. So individual working time will be limited. That's one environment where communication is high and expected, both with customers and/or with your coworkers. Team collaboration, a lot of meetings, things like that. It's not individual working time, it's group working time. Versus other environments where communication with coworkers and/or customers is infrequent. So success can be achieved primarily through independent working time. That's another example of two different environments where neither of those is right or wrong. There's not good or bad, but some companies are going to say that our environment is more like high communication, and other companies are going to say, well, actually, ours is more independent working time. And your job as a candidate is to know, well, what's my preference? What's important to me? Where in what environment can I be at my best? And then you go into an interview knowing that, and you can ask your interviewer, hey, tell me about the working environment when it comes to communication. Is this more of a high touch working environment where communication is expected, or is there going to be a lot of independent working time where I can figure out how to do things my way and maybe even put my headphones in every once in a while and just knock stuff out and get work done? If I know my preference, it's easier to have an open conversation with my interviewer. Another example of this is what I like to call honesty and candor. So, in some environments, honesty and candor are valued and preferred, sometimes even at the expense of harmony with coworkers. So, relationships and respect are important, but performance is the first priority. In some environments, that's true. Whereas in other environments, harmony among team members and strong interpersonal relationships are the priority. So, team members' feelings are valued and protected, even at the expense of speed and performance. It's another example of two truths or two things that might be true of totally different companies. And if you're the kind of person where you're like, man, that sounds refreshing to be in an environment where honesty and candor are the priority, because that's kind of who I am. I'm a very candid person and I like to say things the way that they are. And I would love an environment like that. And so they can go in knowing maybe I'll ask a question about that when it's my turn to speak up in an interview so that I feel better prepared going in. If I were to get a job offer, I know a little bit better what's expected. And I think that's where a lot of turnover and retention problems happen, is people get into the workplace expecting one thing and then their expectations aren't met. What this does is going into an interview with these specific things to look for can help you set expectations before a job offer rather than after onboarding.
One of the final questions that came up as you were mentioning that is once we're in a position and we realize, I don't know if this is the greatest fit, right? In your experience working with folks as far as cultural fit, what are some things like where is that line between accommodating right? This is a good enough job. I'm happy here, right? Accommodating fit versus an indicator that you need to search for a better fit, because there is a cost involved even for candidates, right? And so it's so easy for us to sit here and say, you've got to be in a great fit position, right? But where is that line between accommodation and moving out into a different organization?
And change is scary. So we can't discount that. It's hard to change and take those steps when you have a good job and you're trying to be grateful and you don't want to rock the boat. I love this question. And this is actually something that I've thought about a lot over just even the last few months, because I've learned that in the HR world right now, we're kind of moving away from, as a whole, we're moving away from the term culture fit. And we're going toward a term called culture add. What does this person add to our culture? And I think that we're kind of giving culture fit, we're associating it or giving it a negative connotation, because there have been people that will use hiring managers or leaders or employers who will use a lack of culture fit as an excuse not to hire someone. And that seems kind of like a sketchy way to just say, we didn't want to offer you a job. And it is in a lot of ways a cop out. And I think that that's why we're probably moving away from that, because culture add, or the implication of culture add, is that differences are good. And nobody believes that more than me. I love to use my platform, to use the Clifton Strengths Assessment in my coaching, in my leadership training, in my workshops. We talk often about how our differences are actually truly an advantage. By being different and leveraging those differences, we complement one another, and everybody kind of, we spread our performance across many people who think differently, which it's, we rise the tide. So all boats rise with the tide. That is a truth that I think was the intent of going to culture add, is we should be celebrating differences more. And I could not agree more with that. My challenge, or what I feel like we should challenge, is getting rid of the concept of culture fit altogether. I think these are an and, not an or. And what I mean by that is, it may have to be up to me as an employee, like, or as the person that's considering whether, like you're saying, whether this is a good fit for me. I think it depends on, do you want to fit in or do you want to stand out? And that's where I think culture fit is a really great way for people to know whether they will belong. And if it's important to you to belong and to fit, then you should be looking for culture fit. But if you're the kind of person that's ready to make a difference and you really want to stand out and your differences are your asset and you don't mind pushing back a little bit, being the difference maker, being somebody who looks at things differently, which means you might have to embrace conflict and speak up sometimes in order to see positive change. If you're up for that and you're ready to dive in, you're looking for culture add. And I think that's maybe what people can consider, is what do I want out of the employee-employer relationship right now? Maybe at certain stages of life, somebody who would typically want to stand out, maybe they just had a baby or just had a family member pass, or they're just going through mental health issues. And it's like, you know what? More than anything right now in my life, I just want to fit in. I need to belong. I need people that are like me. I want culture fit right now. And if you're not getting that, maybe it's time to look elsewhere. But if you're the kind of person, or a different maybe stage of your life, where it's time to stand out and make a difference and make an impact, and I'm willing to kind of push against the pricks and be a little bit different, then maybe I'm looking for culture add. And that's where I think it's really up to the individual to determine, what am I looking for at this stage of my life and my career?
That was an excellent answer. Thank you so much for that. I think that brought a lot of clarity to folks who are just in this wading the waters of, I'm not quite sure something's off, but I don't know if I should do something about it. And I work with a lot of folks who are unclear, and they're like, I think I need to get my resume reviewed. And I'm like, whoa, we're so many steps ahead here. So let's go back to the beginning and kind of explore, should a move take place, or are we more coaching you into sort of finding your voice and finding your niche area within this department? Or is it really like a change in environment or a change in industry
Or in
altogether?
career. No, I would always recommend first a change in environment before a change in career or industry. I think that there's always time to arrive at maybe a change in career or industry later, But I always start with environment because I can't tell you how many times I've worked with leaders who were this close to letting go an employee and it just wasn't working. And instead of letting that person go, we first evaluated their strengths and the types of roles that exist at the company. And we kind of started to realize, well, maybe we could experiment with putting this person in a different environment where their strengths might be better leveraged. And I have seen countless occasions where a low performer in one environment became a high performer in a different environment in the same company. And had that person just thrown in the towel and said, I need a new career, they would have missed that opportunity that was like right next door to be happy and more fulfilled in their work.
That's absolutely true. You know, what comes to mind is, like a target, right? You've got the smallest circle, and that smallest circle is you. That is like you are the perfect fit for you because you're you, right? But
Yeah,
as
I
you
like that.
move outside of that, it's like, okay, is it that I'm not presenting and not inviting the types of interactions or environment communication duties, et cetera? Some folks,
Yeah.
we sometimes have a hard time saying what we want because we're not really sure what we want, and therefore we take what we are given, and it's not always a good fit. So I agree with you, kind of starting from the inside and then slowly making your way out to figure out. It's kind of like when you do, when you do a cleanse fast and you take everything out and
Yep.
then you eat like one thing at a time and see if that's
That's
right.
right.
It's similar
Yep.
to that. Kind of start from
Yeah, I
yourself,
love that.
take a look at things, and as you go out, then you might realize what's the next, I guess, ring of things to look at until you find that right fit for you.
I love that. What a great analogy. And it's more incremental, trying to narrow in on the thing that will make the biggest difference to change, not just assuming it needs to be a big change because you feel uncomfortable or out of place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My goodness, we could go on forever, but I'm just so glad that we had you here to talk to us about culture fit, about, being in the right position, about the four different types of cultural fit that you mentioned. And then this really important distinction between, do you need to accommodate or make an adjustment in your current space, or do you need to go out and go into a new career, a new industry, et cetera? So I really appreciate all the time that you spent with us today.
Absolutely.
Share with us again where to find the Culture Lab app and how to get a hold of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's www.culturelab.app. It's a browser-based app, so this isn't on your mobile device, at least not yet. So you'd have to go through a browser to get there. But again, it's free to sign up. And more than anything, I want people to feel empowered going into the interview to have a more collaborative discussion, whether you're the hiring manager or the candidate. And I hope people start to change their mindset about being upfront and honest and candid and eager to really have an open conversation in the interview process so that we treat it as a collaborative experience. Because when we do it this way, it benefits both the employer and the candidate. And it seems just like an obvious win-win that we shouldn't, I don't know, it shouldn't be a hard thing to approach it this way. And yet, traditional interviewing has been so different from that for so long. I think it's just a mindset shift that we need to get into. I'll also note that I'm also on LinkedIn. If people want to find me, ask questions, or are having ideas about how it could be better, we're kind of in a beta stage still and collecting feedback. And I love talking to people about it. So if anybody's interested in reaching out, you can find me very active on LinkedIn.
Awesome. So I'll make sure and put your LinkedIn URL in the description as well. It has been a great conversation. There's so much more to cover, but for now, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. So again, thank you, Micah, for being here with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
If you want to reach out to us, I'll put the links for Micah and the Culture Lab in the description. And just know that we love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you on the next one. Hey, thanks for listening. I really appreciate you spending time with me today. If you found this episode helpful, please tap the 5-star review on the show's homepage in your podcast app. It would absolutely make my day, and it helps others discover the Uncommon Career Podcast. Now, to download your free career resources and learn how I help seasoned professionals land amazing offers in as little as 90 days, click on the link in the description or go to theuncommoncareer.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you on the next one.